Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning. You're listening to CFRA Radio. And the show is Good News in the Morning. It's put on by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. And that's a lot of stuff to remember. You probably have a computer. Google Good News Christian Ministries. You can get all that information. Listen, my name is George Sinclair. I'm pastor of Church of the Messiah in Ottawa. It is my great privilege and honor to be able to spend time with you today as we open the Bible and talk about Jesus. And listen, just before we do that, I just want to say that this show is dependent upon your support. Please pray for me. Please pray for all the speakers. Please pray for this ministry. And if God has provided for you financially and this show works on financial donations, if you can contribute, please do that as well. Listen, today we're going to be talking about something. It's just going to be one very, very short verse in 1 Thessalonians. So while the music's playing in a moment, you might want to go find your Bibles and look up 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to talk about holiness. We're going to talk about avoiding and fleeing evil. And that's a very controversial topic, and I might have to mention some controversial things today. So, while we're listening to the music, please pray for me as well. And we're going to start the show today by listening to the Rend Collective sing Thine Be the Glory.
Thank you.
morning again. You're still listening to CFRA Radio. The show is still Good News in the Morning. It's still put on by Good News Christian Ministries, and I'm still George St. Clair, pastor of Church of the Messiah in Ottawa. Listen, you could well imagine that the text for today is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. And it's just in English, six very simple words: abstain from every form of evil. Now listen, abstain from every form of evil. You could well imagine that that would be on a hipster t-shirt, in a sort of type, an ironic type of t-shirt. That just like, because you see, for many people in our culture, abstain from every form of evil sounds like abstain from every form of fun, abstain from ever having a life, abstain from having a brain. It would be like saying always believe the government or always believe propaganda. Abstain from every form of evil is like part of that whole for many people in our culture, if they said that, they'd be saying it in an ironic type of way, a cynical type of way. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, that's what the Bible says. And it's not saying it in an ironic sense. It's saying it as a command. And if you've listened to me last week, we just looked at three short little verses just before this. By the end of the session today, you'll have memorized this Bible verse, because I'll keep saying it: abstain from every form of evil. And here's the first thing that this text is teaching us. The knowledge of good and evil is present in every culture and confused in every culture. Okay, the Bible isn't sort of... The Bible, in a sense, would say that there are sort of like relativities, or that there's relativism in good and evil, but not sort of in the way that it's usually used, that most people understand that. It would be saying something very different. It's saying what I've just said, that the knowledge of good and evil is present in every culture and confused in every culture. In other words, the Bible is not saying that there's cultures with no sense whatsoever, no proper sense whatsoever of good and evil, but it's also saying that there's no culture that has a perfect knowledge of good and evil. It's saying, when it says abstain from every form of evil, it's part of a larger biblical teaching that the knowledge of good and evil is present in every culture and confused in every culture. So, you know, it's really unfortunate. And maybe on the web page, I'll try to put a little Venn diagram to try to illustrate this. So you might want to go Google later on Good News Christian Ministries and look at the image. But if you imagine two circles, and the first circle will be what our culture, it's our culture's understanding, Canada in the year 2014, Canada's understanding of good and evil. And you can imagine another circle, and that other circle, you could say it's the Bible's view, the Christian view, the Jesus way view of good and evil. And those two circles intersect, they overlap, okay? And so here's what happens is the great temptation for the, but they're not identical, okay? So there's going to be some things that both the Bible and our culture would agree are wrong, or that are good. So, for instance, you know, both cultures would say, both our culture and the Bible would say that it's good to love your children, that it's a good thing to love your children. If I was to preach on that, I could preach on that anywhere, and I'm not going to raise any eyebrows or get people upset. You know, right now in our culture, it would be something the Bible teaches and something our culture teaches is that sex trafficking is an evil, that it's wrong to force women and turn them into slaves to become playthings for men. That's an evil thing. The culture would say it's evil, and and the Bible would say it's evil. Okay, so you know that you have the circle of what our culture says is good and evil, and you have the Bible circle, and there's an overlap between them. In some cultures, it might be a very large overlap, and in some, it might be a very very tiny overlap. So the first great date, you know, when we hear this text, abstain from every form of evil, part of the problem is that all of us become Christians out of our culture, and we continue to live in our culture as we grow in the Christian faith. And part of what means growing in the Christian faith is to get a firmer and firmer grip on what it is that the Bible teaches about good and evil. And here's the problem. It's very easy for churches to drift into one of two directions. First of all, the church or Christians only talk about good and evil in that area of intersection. And they don't talk about the other parts in that the Bible says that are wrong, or that our culture doesn't say is wrong. Okay, but it's easy for the church just to talk about that, or even for the church to merely baptize whatever it is that the culture says is right and wrong, and completely and utterly abandon those parts of the biblical teaching that are outside of what our culture says is right and wrong. And to be a faithful Christian, when the Bible text here says abstain from every form of evil, it's inviting us to so know Jesus and so follow him and so become immersed in his word that we are able to boldly speak of the full range of good and evil as taught in the Bible. And also to say to our culture that things which they say are good and evil aren't good and evil, that their matters are different. So the first example would be that it might very well be in some segments of our culture that it's sort of a commonly held thing that to be low income is a type of sin, that it's wrong to be low income, that it's a type of a moral defect to be low income. Well, let me tell you this, friends, is the Bible never tells us that it's a sin to be low income. Like, if we're feeling guilty about being low income, you know, maybe there's some reasons because we've squandered money, or, you know, we've been lazy, or, you know, whatever, and there might be some other things, but just being low income isn't a sin. It's not a sin to be poor. It's not a sin to be low income. It's not a sin to choose to have less money, or even to be forced to have less money. And yet we'd have to say to our culture that, you know, if the culture is making people feel guilty about that, the Bible has to, in a sense, tell them that you don't have to feel guilty about that. And another thing would be in certain aspects of our culture, maybe, that it's a sin not to be slim and fit, that to be pudgy is a sin. You know what? There's nowhere in the Bible that tells you that it's a sin to be pudgy. There's nowhere in the Bible that tells you all have to be slim and fit and youthful looking. And that's an aspect, those are two very simple things in our culture. You could give lots more, where the culture makes you feel guilt about things, and the Bible says, you know what, friends? You don't have to be guilty about it. You don't have to feel guilty about this, because the Bible is silent on, you know, how much muscle you should have, or, you know, how big your love handle should be. The Bible is silent on that. Okay? But here's the other thing. You see, there are parts that the Bible says are right and wrong that our culture no longer says are right and wrong, and the church has to both have the boldness to speak about the things in our culture that the culture says are wrong, or that are good, and that the Bible are neutral, they're completely matters indifferent, and there's other things where the church has to be willing to speak. In the year 1954, it wouldn't have been very radical in Canada to say that abortion is wrong or that same-sex marriage is wrong, but in 2014, it is very radical to say that, and churches are terrified often, pastors are often terrified about having to say something like that. But it's very, very clear from the Bible that God does not bless same-sex marriage. And it's very, very clear in the Bible that you shouldn't take innocent human life, and that what is in the womb is human life. And therefore, you shouldn't take innocent human life in the womb. So you can see that the issue is a little bit complicated for us. So let's listen to the Bible text again. Abstain from every form of evil. And as I said, my first big point into this is that what this is telling us when it says abstain from every form of evil is it's saying the knowledge of good and evil is present in every culture and confused in every culture. So we need to listen to Jesus, listen to God's word as the Bible forms our understanding of right and wrong. So some of you might say, George, whoa. That's sort of an interesting type of thing, you know, what you've said. But, you know, George, come on, you know, morality is relative. You said that, you know, different cultures are going to, you know, that Canada has changed what it understands right and wrong to be, and different cultures have different views. Like, isn't morality relative? Many people just understand really that talking about morality is just a type of way of having power over others, that, right and wrong, George, is just about, you know, hurting people and making choices that don't hurt people without trying to grab any power. Well, here's part of the biblical teaching. What's our biblical text again? You can say it with me maybe while you're driving. Abstain from every form of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. Abstain from every form of evil. The Bible teaches that evil is not a mere opinion. It is a power, and it has dominion. See, this is another one of the big differences between how the Bible understands right and wrong, is that in our culture, when we say that things are relative or that it's just a matter of making choices that don't harm, you know, that has the smallest amount of harm to people, very common understandings, you know, it's right for me, but not necessarily right, you know, right or wrong for you. And it talks as if it's just a language type of game. No, that's sorry, I'm being, that's not right. It's just time, it talks, it really, it's just a matter of a decision. But the Bible doesn't understand right and wrong in that way. The Bible understands that evil is not a mere opinion. It is a power, and it has dominion. It has an area of power and authority. And you know, the Bible view is a far more realistic view. I mean, don't we understand that lies have power? Don't we understand that once we start to tell lies, that there's a type of a power of the lie, a power to tell lies, that we can be drawn into it? What about envy? What about jealousy? What about greed? Can't we see that there's a type of a way that that money can become a type of thing that can control us? Not that money in and of itself is evil, but that there's a way that the use of money for our own power can be, it's a type of a power. That it's not just a matter of making, like, you know, disinterested decisions, analytic decisions, as if we're just trying to decide, you know, what the square root of the number 17 is, and we're trying to get close to it. that in fact, in lived experience, like the desire, you know, for some people maybe to you meet somebody and the desire to cheat on your wife, that it's not just a disinterested decision, but that evil has power and it has a dominion. And so the biblical teaching, abstain from every form of evil, is part of this different biblical understanding of what right and wrong is. So now some of you might say, okay, George, does that mean then when you say abstain from every form of evil, that's our Bible text, that it's just, okay, and I'm going to have to read the Bible. I'm going to learn a whole list of no's. I don't know, you know, 100 no's, 500 no's, 800 no's, 1,000 no's, ever multiplying number of don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. That's what I mean by no's, not your no's. And, you know, is that what you're just saying? Abstain from every form of evil? That it's just telling us that we have to learn? No. Here's another part of the biblical teaching to understand this verse. God is good. And his very nature is the source of all goodness in the physical, spiritual, intellectual, emotional, and social and moral realms. I messed that up. I'll say it again. That when the Bible text says abstain from every form of evil, it's part of a broader teaching in the Bible that God is good and his very nature is the source of all goodness in the physical, spiritual, intellectual, emotional, social and moral realms. You know, Socrates, a Greek philosopher of about over 2,000 years ago, he posed the very interesting question: Is something good because God wills it, or does God will it because it's good? It's a very famous philosophical question. And Christians understand that it's neither of those options. It's the two false options, that God is good, and goodness flows, or his very nature is what in fact defines good and evil. And since God is good and he is real, then in a sense, goodness is something real. And the Bible understands evil in several different sort of overlapping ways. It's as if this reality of evil, this evil that has a type of dominion and it has a type of a power, there's different types of insights into the nature of what evil is. But it all starts from the fact that in a sense, in a very, very sense, evil, very real sense, evil is never ultimate. God is ultimate. God exists. He is immensely real. And given that God is good and goodness is his very nature, then goodness is immensely real. But evil is a bending of God's goodness. It's a twisting of God's goodness. It's a deforming of God's goodness. It's an attempt to push away God's goodness, to create a type of absence of God and his goodness. And in all of those things, it's just, like if you push against a rubber band, there's power there because you're pushing against, you're twisting something which is real. And that's why that the Bible understands that though evil is never ultimate and it's never equivalent to God, just a different option to God, a rival to God, it's on one level, of course, it's a rival to God, but only as at a very, very secondary level, because God alone is immensely true and immensely real, and his goodness alone relative to evil is immensely true and immensely real. And the reason that evil has a type of dominion and power is because evil is that bending, twisting, distorting attempt to remove that which is good, a type of more technical language, a privation. So what's our text again? Abstain from every form of evil. Abstain from every form of evil. So are you saying then, somebody might say, that, okay, we have to listen to your liturgies and lose our freedom and just follow all of your rules? No, that's not what this text is saying. The Ephesians 5, verse 22, comes at the long list of things which is preceded by this verse, verses 9 and 10. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, and then it goes on with a long list of different moral commands, which culminates in verse 22. And so here's what the Bible teaches. Remember, our text is abstain from every form of evil, that in a sense the religious and spiritual dynamic is to add rules, and the, in a sense, irreligious idea is to try to remove rules. But the Bible teaches that only God can break the power and dominion of evil. And he does this, he did this in the death of Jesus for us. Only God can break the dominion and power of evil, and he did this in the death of Jesus for us. That in the death of God looks upon us and he realizes that because evil is a dominion and it has power, and we are now ourselves bent and twisted, not completely devoid of the good or knowing the good, but we are bent and twisted, and that we could not leave ourselves to save ourselves. God does what we cannot do. If you go back and read Romans chapter 1, you'll see, what does it say? You know, that there is a power that comes from God that is salvation, you know? There is a power that comes from God that is salvation. And so Jesus takes upon himself the evil, my bentness, my twistedness, all that I deserve, he takes it upon himself and he deals with it in his very person and in his body, in his death upon the cross and in his resurrection. And so only God can break the power of dominion and evil. And he does this in the death of Jesus for us. So it's not then that whenever the Bible talks to us about different things that are right and wrong, that the Bible is trying to make us feel doomed or to condemn us or to shut us up or to silence us. It's telling us, it's revealing what's wrong and what's right to begin to heal us. You see? It all comes, and we're always to understand the right and wrong and all of that from the perspective of the cross. You see, when I become Christ's own, I come under the power and dominion of him, of the good. So it's natural for me to seek to draw closer to Jesus and abstain from evil. That it's the grace of God, it's the cross, which is the means by, we are to be gripped by the gospel. And as we're gripped by the gospel, it's in that context that we come to understand the power and dominion of the evil. And it says we're gripped by the gospel, as we're gripped by the power that comes from God to save us and reconcile us to himself. So it's from that perspective that we begin to understand and hear God's description of what is bent and broken and not of him. And as we're gripped by the gospel as disciples, that's the context that God works to help us abstain from every form of evil. Friends, faith in Jesus is turning to him, inviting him into your life as the Savior and Lord, giving him permission to be the Savior and Lord of every nook and cranny of who you are. Let's pray. Father, Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that you don't reveal evil just to condemn us, but to point us to Jesus. Thank you for his death upon the cross for us. Thank you for his mighty resurrection. Father, please make us disciples gripped by the gospel, living for your glory. Friends, if this show has touched you at all, please Google Good News Christian Ministries and let us know. Send us an email. My name's George Sinclair, pastor at Church of the Messiah, and we'll leave listening to George Beverly Shea sing, "I'd Rather Have Jesus."
Be true to his holy name. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. Oh, I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's red sway. Oh, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this old world.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.